any person or any company that has a brand in the public sphere has a legitimate interest in how that brand is portrayed or understood. And Wikipedia just happens to be one of the most important websites on the entire internet for getting the real deal information about something. You might wish that people would come to your company's page to learn about your company, but if they see that there's a Wikipedia article, chances are they're going to trust what they read on Wikipedia a little more.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format here at Keep Optimizing, well, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, it could be Facebook ads or something else. And we pick up from the last time we covered it. And each episode, where we have a new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This 5 episodes are all about content marketing, which regular listeners will know we go quite far and wide with our coverage of content marketing. We could be talking SEO, blogging, PR, all sorts of things. Well, in this episode, we are talking about Wikipedia, that mysterious thing that I don't think we've ever talked about on a podcast before. Like, we may have mentioned the word, but we've never talked about it. So I was very excited when today's guest asked to come on the show and educate us all about what it takes to make amends on Wikipedia and what it takes to create a page on Wikipedia. It is both easier and harder than you think. But we'll let Bill explain all of that. Make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end of the interview, he will be sharing his quickfire insider tips, include some brilliant free resources to help you master Wikipedia. And I will be sharing my take on it all and outlining a couple of other ways we can help you improve your content marketing. So stay tuned to the end. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. In this episode, I'm chatting with content marketing expert William Butler. Bill is the president at Butler Inc., a creative PR agency focused on enhancing the online presence of established and emerging brands by improving information on Wikipedia and creating compelling digital content. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Chloe. Thanks for having me here today.
Great to have you here. I'm super excited to learn more about the mysterious beast that is Wikipedia. Sure, huge numbers of our listeners are very excited to do it as well. But before we get into all the Wikipedia stuff, how did you end up in the world of content marketing and Wikipedia?
Yeah, you bet. So my origin story goes back to the early 2000s when I was a political journalist in Washington, D.C., just out of college. And I was really interested in the political blogosphere, which was just starting to become influential at the time. I've always been interested in people writing things on the internet, especially in groups or as part of a movement. So that partly explains how I got into Wikipedia as well. And, you know, the big picture content marketing, which my firm, you know, does some things besides Wikipedia, some social media, content creation, you know, infographics became a popular thing in the, you know, what, the mid to late 2000s. They had a whole moment. And in the early 2010s, I actually created my own research project into the gargantuan novel Infinite Jest by the late David Foster Wallace. And I created this thing called the Infinite Atlas Project, which was a multimedia map and travel blog, photo tour of Boston, which is most of the book is set. And, you know, that helped me. I was starting my own business at that time. And the attention I got from that, you know, got the attention of some brands who hired us to, you know, to develop, you know, content for them. And then as far as the Wikipedia portion goes, prior to starting that agency, when I was in DC working at a public affairs firm, my boss actually asked me if I could make a change to the Wikipedia article of a friend of his who happened to be a congressman. And I had been fascinated by Wikipedia before that. There's a reason why he asked me to do it, but I hadn't really got involved. And so I thought about it. And so I didn't just make the change. Before I made the change, I went to the discussion page and I explained my rationale. And then I went and made the change. And it turns out that was exactly the right thing to do. And so I realized, well, there's something here. Like a lot of the clients of my employer had Wikipedia articles. So I developed a service around that. And at a certain point, I wanted to do a lot more with it than my employer did. So in the nicest possible way, I quit my job and hung out my own shingle. That was in 2010. And so Wikipedia was the primary focus of my business. But, you know, since we are talking about content marketing more broadly, you know, we don't do as many infographics as we used to. That era of the internet has come to a close. But, you know, we do social media and we create content along with that. So, yeah, that's sort of the origin story, I suppose. And today I have a team of 17 working on Wikipedia and content marketing, and it's a blast.
Brilliant. And I'm guessing you're not purely doing political Wikipedia anymore. So what sectors are getting the most juice out of Wikipedia at the moment?
Good question. We really do very little political work at all. I just happen to be in DC, and there's certainly a lot of politicians around there. You know, when it comes to specifically the Wikipedia work, we are specialists in a service and generalists in industries. Our ideal client is not necessarily from any particular industry, but if they are well established and large enough to have a Wikipedia article or have attracted enough attention that they really should have one, even if they don't, you know, those are the kinds of clients we're looking for. And they could be in any industry of any type, really. You know, Wikipedia wants to cover the wide world, although it does place certain restrictions around, you know, which things it wants to cover, which is always a bit of a pickle for us sometimes when evaluating new clients.
So why should a brand have a Wikipedia page? Why should they want one over and above a bit of ego? You know, my mate's got one, why haven't I got one? So right. What's the benefit of going down the route of making sure you've got a Wikipedia page?
I don't want to denigrate ego. I think I would like to recognize that if any person or any company that has a brand in the public sphere has a legitimate interest in how that brand is portrayed or understood and how people learn about it. And Wikipedia just happens to be one of the most important websites on the entire internet for getting, you know, the real deal information about something. You might wish that people would come to your company's page to learn about your company, but if they see that there's a Wikipedia article, chances are they're going to trust what they read on Wikipedia a little more. But the ego is no joke. One of my colleagues was sharing an anecdote of speaking to a CEO we were working with, and he was hoping he would get his Wikipedia article up in time for his next golfing outing with another CEO friend who already had a Wikipedia page. So that happens.
It doesn't surprise me. So there's a kind of like a trust piece of making sure you're on Wikipedia. Do we get SEO benefits? Is it likely to drive traffic?
So it certainly can drive traffic. Wikipedia itself is one of the top 10 most trafficked websites in the world, although it tends to be topics that are themselves very prominent in the news that get most of that traffic. But that said, if someone is looking for your particular thing, then, again, being on Wikipedia, getting that legitimacy and people following through from there certainly helps. So from an SEO standpoint, we typically look at Wikipedia as being useful in helping to clean up your search results. That could be a high authority site that's on the first page. Wikipedia also is very influential on Google knowledge panels. Google's knowledge base is, Google shut down its own knowledge base some years ago to rely upon Wikidata. Wikidata is another site that SEO folks probably know of, but if you don't, it's worth looking into. Not quite as influential as Wikipedia itself. Let's say you can't just create a Wikidata item and expect a Google knowledge panel to appear, but if you create a Wikipedia page, then a Google knowledge panel will show up.
Cool. So there is definitely some SEO elements in there. And I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of Wikidata, so I'm going to have to go and have a look at that straight after this as well.
It's worth knowing that many, many years ago, Wikipedia applied the nofollow tag to outbound links on the site. So they have had the experience many years ago, of marketers coming in and trying to promote themselves by adding links to their pages. And Wikipedia does not want that. Wikipedia doesn't think of itself as a marketing platform, even though it certainly can play a role in, a marketing and PR strategy. So it's just worth keeping that in mind, that it is not going to, increase your Google juice, as I understand the technical term is.
Very worthwhile saying, and I quite like that as their strategy. We're fed up with you trying to get links for SEO, so we're just going to kill all link juice. Why not? It's not what they're there for. So what are the reasons that you find most people come to you when they want a page?
Well, once again, marketing is the main reason. Our clients are kind of split into those who want a page, they don't have one, and those who already have a page, and for whatever reason, it is unsatisfying to them. It could be that they're under attack by critics, or it could be just the page is neglected because they're in a particularly unsexy field that no one is motivated to work on. But for the clients who don't have a page and they come to us, there's a bit of a challenge that we have because Wikipedia has a guideline called Notability. And the Notability guideline tries to explain which topics qualify for Wikipedia articles and which don't. And there's not like a clear-cut, bright line where, let's say you have four profiles of your company and that's not enough. Oh, and then you get your fifth one, bing, boom, you're set to go. It doesn't work like that. It is a qualitative and quantitative multi-part test. And the way that we will usually do it is we'll take it on as a milestone-based project. We'll write a draft first and, see where we're at before we ask the client to continue, because they said they want to get the word out there. And a thing that the ones who don't are not going to work out as clients for us are the ones who try to promote themselves on Wikipedia first. Wikipedia is not a place to write about things for the first time. It's a place to write about things after it's already been in the news, already been covered. It can be like a great capstone on a marketing or earned media campaign.
Got you. So if you're not worthy of being on there yet, then you've got a good old PR program to do first to get the coverage in the newspapers, the places of record. So then you've got a good enough case to make to create the page on Wikipedia.
That's right. The test, one of the tests that we suggest is to, imagine, let's say you're a marketer or the comms person at a company that doesn't have a page but wants one. Imagine trying to write a Wikipedia article about your topic using only the details that can be found in professional news publications. And what this oftentimes does is spotlight the fact that being mentioned, like brands might get a lot of mentions, or your CFO might get quoted in an article about the industry. But that article where they are quoted on the area of expertise there's no details from that article that are useful in telling the story of the company. And that's something that it's an aha moment that we spark in people all the time where they think, huh, we've been quoted and mentioned in a million places. We must meet the guidelines, but Wikipedia, they want everything to come from the from established professional news publications. And that is a difficult bar for many companies to, you know, or people to meet.
Got you. So if you can't essentially copy and paste from other places on the internet that's not your own website, then you're not there. So let's assume someone has got that bedrock in place. What's then the process for getting a page created? Can we just log into Wikipedia and create it? I assume it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, you know, Wikipedia kind of famously describes itself as the encyclopedia anyone can edit. And there should be an asterisk on that if you are engaged in any kind of self-promotion type activities. And so, I mean, in theory, yeah, you could create the account, log in, create the page. You know, there's certainly a learning curve in, you know, how the Wikipedia processes work. But, you know, it's not the most difficult thing ever. But you, folks should be aware that there is an actual project on Wikipedia that they can go through and get feedback from editors. Like write a draft, submit it, see what happens. It's called Articles for Creation. So if you just, you know, Google Wikipedia Articles for Creation, you will find it. There's a like a button you can click and you can submit a draft. Now you still need to know all the code and know about how citations work and, you know, how to write an article that sounds like Wikipedia wants to sound, right? That's a whole separate thing, but you can then submit it to a queue for review. And here's the other, one of many caveats and drawbacks is it can take months. There, last I checked, there's over 1,000 articles in the Articles for Creation queue. But if you are patient, and I would say maybe 3-4 months is kind of the average. It's rarely long, much longer than that. Someone will come along and, you know, like in 90% of cases, editors will say, not good enough, sorry. And they won't give a lot of feedback. Again, this is the reason why our service exists, because we help take the guesswork out of it and we'll explain what can and can't be done. But yeah, it, Wikipedia, you can do it yourself, but not everybody necessarily has, you know, the sources in order to succeed on Wikipedia.
Let's talk about editing a page then.
Sure.
Because I know there's a lot of people who will want pages edited or are lucky enough to have had one created that maybe wouldn't have got through now, but it exists now. How do we go about getting changes made?
Good question. So we always recommend creating a Wikipedia user account and, you know, stating, let's say you want to edit a page that's about, again, of a matter of some financial interest to you, which is, you know, if it's a page of no financial interest to you and you're just personally passionate about it, go nuts. Create an article, you know, start editing. Wikipedia doesn't have enough editors. It would be great for more people to learn. But when it is something that's of you know, direct impact on you professionally, one should be a lot more careful. And then we say, create an account on your user page, state your affiliation. And then there, every Wikipedia article has a discussion page attached to it. And on that talk page, you can post a request and you can ask for a volunteer editor to review a change. If it's a page that's pretty active, there's a good chance somebody will be along shortly to review it. But if it's a page that's not all that active, which is probably really most pages in Wikipedia, then there's a template you can use to hang a banner on it that will attract an editor eventually. There's also a backlog for that as well. You know, that is the most approved way to do it. I would not want to tell you that you couldn't just occasionally log in and make a small change if you see that, like, a name is misspelled or a date is off. You should still come with a citation. But, like, realistically speaking, for very, very small edits, it's not allowed to go in and make changes to your boss's page. But if you want to make a real small change, there are worse things that one could do. I would just say, if you think you're going to do more of it, Wikipedia editors will detect a pattern. And if there's a pattern of self-interested edits on a particular article, they'll get wise to it and they'll come, you know, give you a talking to. So if you can have the patience to wait for an editor to review it and take the time to kind of learn about how Wikipedia's processes work, how their content guidelines work, you can be a lot more successful if you kind of take that long view and consider yourself in a dialogue with the Wikipedia community.
it's interesting because it's infinitely possible to do it, but if you don't know the right way to do these things, then you're going to A, fail, and B, potentially annoy the people who you should have asked in the first place.
Yeah, that's totally right.
It's quite a lot to lose by getting it wrong first time.
That's right. This is why I don't advise going in and making direct changes, even though I acknowledge, you know, if it's a real small thing and that just seems like it's a lot more simple, I understand why people do that.
So once it's done, should we be keeping an eye on it? Should we be trying to create a second page? What happens once we've kind of scratched that initial itch? What's the next stage in our Wikipedia strategy?
Certainly do recommend monitoring your Wikipedia article. If you have created a Wikipedia user account, you can create a watch list. However, you have to go back to Wikipedia to log in to it. And so it's a bit of a challenge. My company, we've actually developed our own in-house software that we use for monitoring pages, and we have a lot of pages to monitor. It's called WikiWatch, and we will get an email with a little AI-generated summary of what happened, so we kind of have a quick idea of what happened on the page, and then we can go investigate further if we need to. We are going to be releasing a freemium version probably early next year, so I won't push it too hard, but it's hard. Yeah, this is one reason why we're working on this problem, because Wikipedia's own watch list software is not that great.
It's all right if you're logging in every day because you're an editor.
Yes, that's what they're designed for.
Yeah, but not so great if you're hoping that someone hasn't put an error on your page.
That is why our software is designed with the brand manager in mind. And no surprise, Wikipedia... You know, Wikipedia thinks of itself as a global education NGO. That is what they are. They are not a social network, although, of course, many considerations that apply to Facebook, to Meta, to X do apply to Wikipedia, especially legally.
Yeah. So, Bill, is there anything we've not talked about that we really should have talked about when it comes to getting onto Wikipedia, or have we covered all the key things?
Well, I would probably, you know, just mention a couple of other guidelines and things to keep in mind. We've talked about the notability guideline, that is the threshold, or establishes the framework for determining the threshold of whether your topic is wiki-worthy or not, and the Articles for Creation project, which you should know about. The other thing that's very important for anybody who's doing marketing or PR activities relating to Wikipedia is to become familiar with the conflict of interest guideline. That is a rule that, you know, for the most part says, hey, keep your hands off Wikipedia if you, you know, are paid to be there. But it does offer like the beginning of some advice to how to do it correctly. So I think knowing those are the main things, then you just have to do a lot of reading. And I would recommend creating a personal account just to make test edits that are not related to your business. You know, most of my, I have a business related Wikipedia account and I have a personal account. And I, you know, on my personal account, I edit articles of interest based on like my hometown or sports teams that I follow and movies, things like that. I think there's really no substitute for understanding how Wikipedia works. And I think you can't really do that if you're only focused on your kind of business topic.
And then, of course, you know, you are, as you mentioned earlier, Wikipedia doesn't have enough editors and volunteers. It is a volunteer platform, and you're hoping to get something out of it for your business. So it kind of makes sense to do something to help the overall Wikipedia pie rise.
Absolutely. I would say if you want to help Wikipedia, you know, yeah, pitch in. Find something there that needs to be improved to work on. Many people donate money to Wikipedia. I think that's great. I give money to Wikipedia from time to time, although they have a lot of it. And that money goes to the foundation, which, you know, runs the servers, keeps the lights on, does outreach programs. But, you know, as you say, the editors are volunteers. They are not paid to make their edits. And so the best way to support them is to find something you can do and help out here and there.
Cool. Well, look, Bill, it's been great picking your brains about Wikipedia. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on Bill's insider tips and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. Okay, Bill, so far we've gone deep into Wikipedia. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of content marketing. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with content marketing, which of course does include all those things we've already been talking about. So Bill, are you ready for these?
I am ready.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Okay, I am going to stay within Wikipedia since I think I have the most insight to offer there. So number one, create a user account. Let me add one thing that I didn't say before. Do not name your user account for a company or anything that makes it seem like it might be shared by multiple people, because Wikipedia editors will block it on site. So make it something. It could be your first name. It could be something random and goofy. Just don't name it for your boss, your client, your company. And then read. So I mentioned the conflict of interest guideline. Another page that's even more useful is called the Plain and Simple Conflict of Interest Guide. Just Google Wikipedia, Plain and Simple Conflict of Interest Guide. And that's the first place to start in learning about how to do it properly.
Excellent. A little bit of research for us all. And I love that tip about the email. So Gmail accounts, everybody. That's basically what we're saying here. Gmail accounts are not mybusiness@gmail.com.
Well, let me be clear. You don't even need an email account to create a Wikipedia account. They ask if you want to put one in there, but if you don't, you don't have to. Which you should still do it. And you can use your business email for that. But when it comes time to name the account, don't name it, company ABC, name it Bill at company ABC, and then you're in much better shape.
Got it. Cool.
One of those non-obvious things that newbies sometimes get wrong.
Well, that's what you're here for, to help us avoid, Bill. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
So the only way to improve, well, one would be, like I said earlier, is to, edit on topics of personal interest. It's okay to make some mistakes, develop an understanding for the rhythms of Wikipedia, but then read all of Wikipedia's rules that you possibly can. I recommend starting with the one called Neutral Point of View that starts to explain the style of how Wikipedia, the voice, the tone. But then there is also the Manual of Style. You should take a look at that. If you want to write an article, you have to follow all the stylistic conventions. They're in the Manual of Style. Also really important, we talked about those journalistic sources. There's a guideline called Reliable Sources. There are some sources besides professional journalism which can be useful, but typically they cannot be press releases or your website or your social media, but there's just many intricacies involved there. So I recommend reading all of those guidelines. In the early years, I would just take weekends when I was young, single, and doing nothing better. I would just read Wikipedia guidelines for hours and hours and hours, and hey, it paid off.
It certainly did. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I do. I have two. One is going to be on this topic specifically of how to interact with Wikipedia if you have a conflict of interest. And so there's an ebook that's available for free that I wrote some years ago, but it's still very applicable. It is called Wikipedia and the Communications Professional, a primer. So if you Google Wikipedia and the Communications Professional, you will find it either via my website, my company's website, or perhaps the Institute for PR, which had co-released it some years ago. So that's a fixed resource. If you want to learn more about Wikipedia on an ongoing basis, I actually write a newsletter for my company. And so the newsletter is called WikiWise. If you just Google WikiWise newsletter, you will find it, but it's also available at butlerinc.com/WikiWise.
Excellent. There you go, Ron. A couple of excellent resources for you to go and grab. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 12 months, 6 to 12 months even, that we should be getting ready for?
That's really interesting. And then we get this question a lot because, gosh, Wikipedia has been around for so long. It is kind of is what it is in a sense. And, you know, so no question, AI continues to be a major discussion around Wikipedia. There are good things about it, bad things about it. But I'm going to steer my prediction back over to the kind of paid editing side of things. I think that this coming year may be a year where there is more discussion about the topic. When I say the topic, I mean the topic of PR and marketing on Wikipedia, because we're actually at a 10-year point. Back in 2014, I had worked with several of the top global PR firms to create an open letter to Wikipedia saying, hey there, we realize we didn't always get you right, but we want to follow the rules. And we got a lot of attention for it. And that, I think, brought a lot of awareness to people who worked in PR and marketing, that Wikipedia could be interacted with in there was a right way. And Wikipedia editors around that time were developing some of these tools for, you know, reviewing edit requests. But over time, new people have come into the industry who were not around at that point in time. And I think Wikipedia editors haven't heard from, you know, the MarCom industry, if we want to call it that, about, you know, Wikipedia. So I think it's likely that the topic is going to come back around again. Maybe that is wishful thinking on my part, but I just think it's time for that conversation to happen again in a more public way.
Oh, that is a good one. We will be watching to see what happens. The kind of, it's like the opposing forces coming together to work on something together. It's very cool. Love that idea. Bill, we've almost reached the end of the show, which means it's time for me to ask you to please let the listeners know how they can get in touch with you and your business.
You betcha. So our website is butlerinc.com. B as in Bravo, E-U, T as in Tango, L-E-R-I-N-K.com. Sometimes people might mistake us for being a tattoo shop, but that's not the case. As a company that does both creative and, you know, writing, ink was always something that we thought would be a fun way to describe us. Anyway, butlerinc.com is the website. That WikiWise newsletter, again, is at butlerinc.com/WikiWise. And then, you know, back to content marketing, a thing we've been doing more recently is this year we finally got on TikTok, perhaps just in time for it to go away. If the ban goes forward, who knows? But we've been putting Wikipedia-specific topics, or videos kind of explaining how things work on Wikipedia. One of my colleagues who knows TikTok way better than I do, she's the one who does those videos. They're a lot of fun. So I recommend looking us up. We're at Butler Inc. on TikTok.
Very cool. Wikipedia comes to TikTok. Love it. Bill, thank you so much for being on the Keep Optimizing podcast. It's been great learning from you. And thanks for sharing so much expertise with us all.
Thanks, Chloe. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so there you have it. That is how to get a listing on Wikipedia. I think the hardest thing about that, once you know the process, is making sure you're wiki worthy. And then also how to get amends made to those pages. So it seems that I come away from that thinking Wikipedia is a lot more doable than I thought it was, but also knowing that I definitely don't qualify for a page. So I hope you found that super interesting. You can get the links to those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. Or you can use our special direct episode short links. Just put keepopt.com/the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be taken straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, you can, of course, add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the many other things I share to help you improve your business, and so you get an alert every Wednesday when the new episode goes live. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out all our content marketing content by either scrolling up your feed, because we've just put a couple of other brilliant episodes live, or go further back in time if you want to, or you can use the short link keepopt.com/content to find all the episodes listed out on the website. And we frequently do share PR elements and so forth in here. So I think you'll find something else in content that you want to listen to right now. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of their e-commerce marketing, including their content marketing, of course. So please do that for us and have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my four-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.